life of love. With Joy Hilson.
Hello and welcome to Life of Love. We're so excited to have another great episode here lined up. I have a wonderful soul here. Michaela Cox is here, and she's been published several times, and she's had a wonderful journey of vulnerability, and you know, she's had challenges, and what I love so much about Michaela is that she wants to share her growth with everyone and have her experience lift everyone else up around her. And so I honor that in her, and I welcome you with an open heart, Michaela. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good conversation.
I would love for you to just give some background about what led you to sharing like this and just a snapshot of your experiences. You've had some challenges, and I just would like for you to give some background to the audience.
Well, I mean, my story is what I call 38 Triple D, a journey of going from surviving to thriving, lifelong disability of legal blindness, so disability being the first D, and then divorce at 26, the second D. And then after I got divorced in 05, I met, you know, an amazing man and the love of my life, and we got married in 07, but he unfortunately passed away in 2017. So the third D being, 2017, I was like, did I say that right? 2017, I read all off numbers. I'm like, wait a minute. He passed away. And so death of beloved husband being the third D, and I was at 38 at the time, being almost 6 years ago. So yes, I'm 44, do the math. Like, not as young as I used to be, but anyway, I'm not, so three D's before the age of 40. So that's quite the deal. So, but I've always felt like, starting with my disability, even before the other two D's, I was given an interesting journey and story for a reason. And I've always felt drawn to the written word and called to write. I mean, when I'm not writing, I'm thinking about it. And so, it's what I've always done. It's what I do. And that's, I feel like, a good way to get your voice and your message and your story out into the world aside from speaking.
Yes, I agree. It's healing. It's healing to write it and reflect and review it. And yeah, that's it. But it's vulnerable too, right? I mean, those things, going through them, you have to relive them a little bit to write about them.
Yeah.
And I was it just came into my head, you know, 38, and 3 + 8 is 11, right?
Yeah, it is.
And 11 is an angel number. It's a repeating one.
Right.
So I can't help but know that the angels are supporting you in your journey to work through this. They're shining their support with you and their light to get you through these things. Because I know you don't go through 38 Triple D, and you know, you just don't turn the page when the book's done. All these things keep coming up again.
They do, especially when you're on a great journey. It's not a one and done thing. It's, you don't move on, but you go and you don't get over it, but you get through it, and it's always with you. So yes, it's definitely a journey. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about how you changed this obstacle to being in a place of thriving. Give us some insight on that.
Just to be clear, I have no problem answering that question. I have an answer for you, but the one or all three of them?
Oh.
Like, which one are we talking about?
Well, let's start with the first D. I mean, start the beginning D.
Well, I'm not sure of your background or your audience background, but I'm a woman of faith. And so I was actually born totally blind at birth. Like I said, it's something I've always had. I always will. There's never been a day, or there won't ever be a day, that I don't look through the world through eyes that aren't normal. They're totally jacked. I mean, like, seriously, legitimately jacked. So many issues, but that's okay. But for me and my family and my beliefs, I believe that the Lord God healed me at 7 months old and gave me my sight, even though it was impaired. And so a lot of what I've used in life through all three of the D's, I kind of learned earlier in life, because when you grow up with a disability, you kind of have to find ways of coping and getting around. Like, if you can't move the mountain, then you have to find ways around it, right? And so I learned a lot of these early in life, but then I had the opportunity, or life presented situations where I had to use the same ideas and skill sets again and again, kind of like muscle memory. You know what I mean? I mean, in life, we know there's not a roadmap. There's not an instruction manual. I mean, good luck trying to find it. And if you do, I'd love to see it. I've looked. But it doesn't exist, unfortunately. I can promise you that, or at least not so far. So then you kind of have to think, well, huh, okay, what now? So I guess I'm going to create my own, right, and figure it out for myself. I don't know how to put this in a more diplomatic way, but I go to the expression a lot. If you want it done right, you might as well do it your damn self. So, or your darn self, I guess. I don't know how you edit that to be more truth. But so I had to figure things out, right? Because life is about choices. You can either be, you know, the victor or the victim, or, you know, I like to say that you can either be defined by your circumstances or you can define it for yourself. And so a lot of what's seen me through any one of these, never mind all three of these D's, is what I have started calling finding grace through grief in life. And let me back up. I knew I forgot to say something. The idea of overcoming is overcoming is overcoming is overcoming, no matter what you're trying to overcome. I mean, we don't have a get out of obstacles or tribulations or trials or struggle card in this world. That would be nice if we did, right? And it was just easy, breezy. Right. But I think we all know that is not, in fact, reality. And it's not a question of when, it's a, or if, it's a question of when and to what kind or to what degree or how many we're going to have in this journey. So while each tribulation is different for everyone else, and what I've gone through, not many, some other people haven't gone through, and what they've gone through, I haven't gone through. But when you think of overcoming, what it takes to overcome, no matter what that thing or that issue or that problem that you're trying to overcome, it's the same thing. It may have individual aspects to it, depending on what that thing is. But if you choose to be a victor and not a victim and trying to overcome it, you still have to have the same things in place to allow you to become an overcomer and to go from surviving to thriving. And that's the process that we were talking about that I would like to share with y'all, that I've used kind of in all three situations. And because of the grief and loss, I'm still using and will probably keep using.
Right.
I don't have all the answers. I can only share what I've learned and what I feel like is my truth and my wisdom. I mean, I do have some answers, but we're never going to figure it all out. I don't think that would be nice, but I don't know if that ever completely happens. But what I do know is that in anything in life, when you're going through like the valleys or the hard times in life, you need a solid foundation, right, to hold you steady and hold to. That may be your family. For me, it's definitely and has always been my faith. That's first and foremost in my life. It may be a certain belief system that you cling to. It may be your friends, or it may be a combination thereof. Whoever says it has to be one thing, right? There's always more than one door. But so I would call that being grounding, the G of grace, being grounding in your grief and in life. And then the R for me is redesign, daring to redefine and redirect your own course in life so that you can thrive. When you're handed a situation and you're like, what now? I mean, think of it as like a deck of cards. Like, okay, you're playing a card game. And obviously when we play a game, you want to win, right? Well, we don't control the cards that we deal from that, get dealt to us that we draw from that deck. But if we want to win the game, and hopefully you're a good card player, you're going to put those cards strategically to win the game, right? So I didn't choose those cards necessarily or what was given to me, but I very much have control over what I do with those cards. So I get to choose if I want this to define me or redefine it for myself. So it's about choices. I mean, you can probably make the argument that life is just really a string of choices strung together that depending on which ones you pick and created the string, it's going to lead you down one path, as opposed to if you'd done a different set of choices that were strung together, you're going to go down a whole totally different different direction that's going to lead you to whatever destination that you eventually get to because you chose to travel that path through your choices, if that makes any sense. That takes us to A. And the A in grace is learning to live in abundance. Now, that does not say that cannot mean finances, but let me be clear. I am not the financial person. That is not what I'm referring to in this instance. I have a financial person, okay? So I'm not your girl for that. But what I'm really meaning is the mindset of what do you want? Like, are you going to think on things that are positive or negative? I mean, yes, we're all going to have moments that are hard or sad or, you know, bad and, you know, you can't control what comes into your head, but you can control what you do with those thoughts and how you use them to either help you or maybe be potentially harmful if you stay with certain thoughts. So I'm not faulting anyone for having thoughts and emotions. That's what makes us human. And we have to process those. Yes. And it may take a few minutes or it may take a little bit of time, whatever your analogy is, but at some point you still have to decide what you're going to do with them and how you're going to let them influence you and what you're going to, where they're going to direct you. So are we going to be people that choose being victors and having things in place in our mental state and our frame of reference that allow us to be victorious? Or are we going to keep with thoughts that maybe keep us as a victim? Is the world half a glass half empty or half full? Even in the hardest times, there's always something to be grateful for, no matter you may have to look a little bit harder from certain times than others. But are you going to be the one that seeks out that little gratitude, that little silver lining of the rainbows after the storm or whatever analogy you want to put on it? You know, and how are you going to keep your mindset so that when you are trying to make these choices, you have a game plan mentally that keeps you strong and true to the direction that you want? And there's a reason why in our society that it said mind over matter and that mindset's the game changer. And I believe it was Henry Ford. I'm not great at quoting quotes, but I believe it was him that said that if you think you can do it, if you think you can't do it, you're right. It's all about the power of the mindset. So what, and that's why they say if whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. So that's the A. So that's what I'm talking about there is how we manage and what kind of mindset and frame of reference do we want to be in as we're traveling these journeys. It's about perspective, right? And sometimes the smallest or biggest shift in your mindset can make all the difference in the world of what you do next. I know it was for me, especially on this journey of grief. And then the C is choosing care and clarity over chaos and confusion. I feel like these all could be separate talks. I really do. Mm-hmm.
There's so much. I was thinking the same thing.
Right? But this one, the C is about your self-care. And that's a huge topic with so many different opinions on. But it still boils down to the idea of caring for yourself. And I think there's a lot of misguided thoughts around that that are misunderstood and that is not selfish. It's like, I don't know about guys, but women, we're doing all the things, right? We're moms, we're daughters, we're wives, we're friends, we're coworkers, we're maybe an aunt, maybe a niece, you know, sister, whatever. I fill in the blank and add to the very long list that are always on our plates as women. And if we're always happily giving, giving, giving to the ones we love because that's what we want to do, well, a well that's always having water taken out of it is eventually going to run dry if you don't put something back into it, right? It's going to be empty at that point if you don't refuel it. So that's very much true of our spirits and our souls. If we're always giving and wanting to give or trying to help others or whatever that is that you do, eventually, if you're not doing something to refill it and make sure that you're taken care of too and like given the resources that you need so that you can keep doing what you love to do, you're eventually going to either be overwhelmed, burned out, outdone, and at your limit and just like, I'm done. I've had it. I can't do anything else. And you're going to be done. And there's because there's nothing left to give. So, excuse me. You have to figure out what kind of care do you want to do for yourself that'll help refuel, rejuvenate your well so that you can keep doing what you want. And that's like so many things I could go into about that. But that's basically the C of finding grace through grief and life. And then the E is about being essentially equipped for the journey so that you can thrive. I mean, I like to travel. a lot of people like vacations, right? But you're not going to go on well, I guess some people would. I'm more of a planner. So, you know, if you're spontaneous and you just want to get in your car and go, okay, more power to you. But I promise you, you're still not going to get very far in your car without keys or gas. Okay. You still need something to wherever you want to go, whether you know where you're going or not. And most likely you're going to want a place to stay, whether you plan it out 6 months ahead of time or you just pick one when you get there. You still need a place to stay. You're eventually going to want food, either snacks in the car or go get a meal. So the point is, just like when we travel in life on fun things, you need things for that trip or that adventure. Well, while we're traveling the journey of life, you need things to equip you to help you do what you want to do and get where you want to be. So that's my process, is finding grace through grief. The G, the R, the A, the C, the E.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And it's just, I've been so called to mention the divine feminine, and that grace embodies a divine feminine, and everything that you said in the self-care, the divine feminine has been so submerged that we forget how wonderful we are and how we do expend a lot of resources doing what we love doing. Like, it takes a lot to give, right? So I just, it's so timely, and I appreciate that so much. And I just wonder, do you start every day with your grace? Do you revisit it? I mean, you've grown up with being legally blind, and you said you got some vision as a child. How has this played out? And did you, and I just have so many questions. Did you go to a regular school?
I did.
You did.
I went to private most of my education, private Christian schools, except for kindergarten, first grade, and fourth grade. I was in public. And then when I went to college, I went to a public university in Louisiana, but the most of it was private, but it was still a regular school. Well, when I was a teenager, I did get some training that was outside of regular school that was specific to, you know, disability and learning to adapt and whatnot. But as far as every day, you know, September or August through May, I was in regular classes like everyone else. So.
And do you read Braille or?
No, I don't read Braille. It's kind of ironic because I'm actually illiterate in the Braille world, because what most people don't realize is in the Braille world, you have three grades of Braille. You have grade one, which is like your alphabet and your numbers and your punctuation and your basic stuff, right? Grade two is like a shorthand. Like, let's take the word brush. I don't know exactly how they do it because I never learned it. The word brush is made up of R-U-B-R and then U-N-S-H, like brush. So what they do is they take a symbol that may represent brush, and they either, I don't know if they put it with a U or if they have a symbol for U-S-H, I don't know. But the point is they like abbreviate it instead of writing every letter every time that will form that word brush with a Braille symbol that represents maybe a symbol of that word, part of that word. And then grade three is like, I always heard back in the day when we had, I mean, I know we still have secretaries, but I mean, like secretaries that just did typing, like eventually they would do, or diction, they would have like a shorthand version of, so they could make their notes and know what to type out. Supposedly Braille 3 is like your own personal shorthand system of everything else. So I don't know, because that one I definitely didn't learn.
Wow.
And Braille is basically based off of, if you look at half of an egg carton, like three eggs like this and three eggs like this, it's what a Braille cell is. You have dots, one, like a L, six eggs. Think of it as like a six egg half carton. And you look at it vertically, and the top left egg would be dot one. The middle one on the left would be dot two. Mm-hmm. The bottom left would be dot three. And then you go to the right side, the top right would be dot four. The middle right would be dot five. And the bottom right would be dot six. So based off of those six dots or eggs in our analogy, is what they hold. They come up with all the combinations of the dots to form the letters and the numbers and the punctuation of Braille. And then they take those letters. I don't know how they do the symbols, the combination of the symbols in grade two to be the basis of all of the Braille.
Wow. So you learn to read through, or do you, are your books like audio, or can you actually see the letters with adaptive print?
I can see, and I can visually read. It's just a really pain in the butt because it takes forever, because I don't know if you have any medical background or any medical professions in your audience. The root cause of my vision is the optic nerve. If you've ever been in an eye doctor's office or an anatomy and physiology class, and you've seen like a, you know, like the textbook pictures of anatomy and physiology, like an optic nerve, a normal one that's not messed up or have any issues, is supposed to be a certain shape. And mine's the opposite of that shape. I can't remember if a normal optic nerve is cone or circular. I don't remember. But whatever it's supposed to be, mine's the opposite of it. And also an optic nerve, a normal optic nerve is supposed to be purple. Mine is not. Mine's the color of a manila folder, which basically what that means is the way it was explained to me is that the bloodstream can't go through it the way it should. So therefore, it can't send the signals to the brain the way it should. And then therefore tell the eyes what to perceive. So it's like a constant delayed reaction. So it takes me longer to do things. So like you're in a grocery store, right? Now, generally, I memorize everything. So, and plus, I shop online now. So, I don't even go anymore. But when I did, you know, before we all had those wonderful things that we all do, scanning, if someone told me to look for something, I might have to stand there for 2 or 3 minutes and scan for it several times over, whereas y'all probably would just go directly to it. So, I don't really do that because it's a pain in the butt and it's very annoying to me because I could do it several times over and still not find whatever the heck I'm looking for. So, I would rather memorize things like, I know, for example, whatever your favorite brand is, like I know what the logo and the marketing of Heinz ketchup is. So I just memorize that. I find that and I go for it a lot quicker instead of wasting however the crap long I have to scan the shelves or whatever. So yeah, it's things like that. Well, I had accommodations, IEPs, individual education plans. And depending on what year you're talking about, we would have different arrangements and whatnot. And I did start listening to all of my textbooks in fifth grade on audio cassette. Yeah, back in the day. And then in college, I had readers. And anyway, so it just depends on what you're talking about. If you put your mind to it and you find a way, you can make it happen if you want to. So it might be challenging.
You learn to find your resources, and if you wanted to get something done, you had to look at what you had to deal with and, like you said, reframe your mind to see the options instead of being that victim, be the victor. That phrase is going to stick with me, be the victor, not the victim. That's a very empowering, and it just illuminates your mindset so much. That's the core. To me, that's the core of where you start from. You're like this goddess warrior, and you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the most of what I have. And I just honor that in you. So,
I mean, I was raised to believe not quit, not give up, not stop, and don't give up. And you just do the best you can and you see where it takes you. And then like, see, I think a lot of what I had to learn early in life to work with the disability and still use served me well to do all the what I've done despite having a disability. But then also because I had learned those skill sets, it served me well when having to put a life back together after a divorce and working on doing so after losing my husband and being a solo mom and all the things. Because my kids were like 3 and 6 when their dad passed away. So
they were really young. And, you know, when you enter a marriage, you have this partnership and you have this commitment, and I'm sure you bring a lot of gifts to your relationship, but also you needed that commitment to do your best. And so when he let you down, when things weren't working out for whatever reason, I mean, do you feel like since your vision isn't acute, like it's more of an impression, do you feel like you use your intuition more than the average person may?
Maybe. I never really knew why, but I always would get instinctual feelings. And, you know, when you're a kid, you don't know enough to know that, like, oh, that actually is something you should pay attention to because you don't know and you don't know what it is, or you don't know to trust it because you're just a kid, right? So you don't know you're right. And I do remember kind of having those kind of things off and on throughout my life and just wondering, like, gut reactions, instinct, you know, intuition. As far as the marriage, I mean, there is no perfect couple because we're not perfect individuals. Now, we might be perfect together and perfect for each other, but I would have to say our marriage was pretty perfect. And he never really, I mean, you're going to have issues no matter who you are. I'm not saying that, but we had it pretty good and pretty perfect, but we worked well together, so. And at that time we lived up where there was public transportation way better up north than it is in the south. So I did that a lot when I needed
to. Right, because right now you're in Louisiana. And do you move to Louisiana after your husband passed away? Or?
Yeah, I moved. I lived in Louisiana when I was a kid. Like, I was originally born in Houston, and I lived in Texas until I was like 9 and a half. And my family moved to Louisiana in 88. And I lived in Louisiana from 88 to 2007 when we went, me and my husband that passed away, went to New Hampshire for his career. And then I figured, because it was 26 hours away from friends and family for most of them, so I figured it would be best for my kids if we moved back to Louisiana. So we did.
Oh. And how are they? How old are they now?
They are 12 and 9, and they're fixing to have big birthdays. My daughter will be 13 in August, and my son will be 10. So,
oh, boy.
Anyway. Yeah. I have a 7th grader and a 3rd grader right now, so I'm like, okay, here we go. Ready or not?
Here we go. There'll be plenty of uses of grace in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to say, I was best at giving myself grace for a long time, because I don't know if y'all figured out yet. I'm always doing something, and I'm a multitasker, and I'm a little... Okay, I'm a big perfectionist. Let's just call it for what it is. I would say I'm a little bit. No, I'm a perfectionist. And I've had to learn a lot. And I'm type A, okay? You know, like things a certain way, ducks in a row. Probably a little OCD on certain things, maybe a little, you know, whatever. But it's also served me well, because that's how I get so much done. But I have had to learn over the last 5 years more about giving myself grace and grief than I probably have in a whole lifetime prior to that. So I'm getting better. It's a process. It's a process. We're learning.
And there's, I mean, when you say grief, there's a lot of people going through loss right now. So your insight is so needed and timely. What advice would you give to anyone who's in the early stages of grief, who's just, you know, needing a little support? What would you give them?
Well, it is very hard. It's not fun. It always stays with you. You're going to have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable real quick, unfortunately. And it's nowhere where you want to be. But you also have to get comfortable with the idea that this is your journey. And no one can tell you how to travel your journey, because it's yours and yours alone. Now, are there certain things that work for everybody? Yes, true. Like, I would suggest several things to anybody and everybody who's going through not just grief, but other things. But still, at the end of the day, you're the only one that's experiencing this, and you know what's right for you and whatever else. Like, for me and my kids, I knew what was right for me and them. You know, they may have kids. Someone in the audience may have kids or may not in going through grief. But the point is, whatever that is for you, as long as you know you're doing the right thing for you and traveling what you have to travel, then embrace that and be okay with that. Because no one else is having to do what you have to do. And grief can be very lonely, but that does not mean you have to go through it alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take some space to find out what you need to do and ask for support. That's really wise. Because sometimes you just try to get through things. And when you're just trying to get through things, you're not working through them. You're just pushing them to the side to bubble up later, right? It's gonna come back. No. Well, I would love to check out your book, and I'll be happy to share the link to buy the book in the show comments. And also, I will write out all the steps of grace in the show notes, because I like to have those notes for myself too. Because when I listen back to my guests, I always learn something more than I did the first time. So I know this is going to be one of those episodes. Oh my goodness. Well, I appreciate your time, and I honor everything that you've gone through, and just, you're such an inspiration. And, you know, even when you're talking, I mean, you're talking about playing cards, and I don't know how easy it is for you to even play cards, you know, with your vision. Like, can you?
You just memorize things. You know, a lot of people say, well, how do you do all what you do? As the body compensates, usually when one area is lacking, they'll pick it up in other areas. And that's true. That's why I have really good hearing. My ex-husband didn't like it. And I don't think my kids like it always. They're like, try and whisper things. I'm like, excuse me, what did you say? Nothing, Mom. Oh, I know you did. You tell me now. I don't think they always like that. And I pick I don't rely on people talk about in communication, like how nonverbal communications, like 70% or 90%, depending on who you listen to, of our communication, which is true, but it's very visual based. And I don't think I could trust my eyes to interpret visual non-visual communication. And so I rely on tone. And if I've been around you long enough, I can tell you within 2 seconds if something's wrong, because I can tell by your voice. So I may not be able to see it on your face, but I can. So I'm like, try and get something past me. Good luck with that. You know, and then I have a really good memory. And oddly enough, you would think my nose would be really good, but it's not, because of what probably caused my vision to get messed up. Because back to anatomy and physiology and biology, what allows you to smell, the olfactory, I think it's called, is on the same spot on the brainstem as the optic nerve. And so they both got screwed. But so my smell isn't that great, but my hearing and my memorization and other things are stellar. And I do much better with organization than I do with chaos. So yeah, you just use what you have to, and you figure it out if that's what you want to do, if you want to get stuff done. So do what you got to do.
We all have disabilities. We do. We might have a mental disability. We might have an outlook disability. It might not be a disability that's coded in a manual, but we're all struggling with something. And so I would encourage my audience to really take to heart what Michaela is saying, because you can develop super senses and the things that you're strong at. Just own your strengths, own your abilities, own your resources, because we're all given challenges. And I just think that you're an extreme illumination of using what you have and having superpowers, even though the world might say, oh, you're different, you're disabled, but you've come so far. And I'm just applauding. So happy to meet you and be in this space with you. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here too. And I'm thankful for your very kind and gracious words.
Thank you.